products available.
Leaving the U.S., headed into Canada, in fact, in Canada at this point. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. What did Irene leave behind? Perhaps at least $1 billion in damage up and down the East Coast. However, not quite the storm that it was built up to be. It was days of lookout, batten the hatches. I know that I talked about it. Many of you called the show or sent me notes about what was happening in your area in North Carolina. They always worry about that because of how exposed they are in the Outer Banks, and they did surely get slammed by Irene. Lots of flooding, lots of homes ruined, and a lot of people that had to evacuate, and others who decided to wait it out, and they got no help because the winds were too strong, and that's what the local cops would tell you. Hey, you want to stay, that's fine, but you want to rescue, 60-mile-an-hour winds, you're not getting a rescue if that happens. So there was phone outages. What you would have expected that would be part of the show, but not quite what was predicted. So now it's more about what is the cost of Irene, across the East Coast. Is it $1 billion? Is it $45 billion? I've heard crazy estimates. I would think if you went state by state, it has to be way more than $1 billion. I'm probably underestimating. So it's got to be much, much higher. One thing that will definitely take a big hit would be, besides the cleanup costs, is the fact that in New York, everything was shut down. So you couldn't get in or out of the city on Sunday, basically after Saturday night. So Times Square, it looked like a ghost town. That means a lot of money. That's a direct hit to the economy of New York City. And that's probably the same in other areas, too. Because let's face it, they had tourists that were chased away. So now you got the damage and the cost of the cleanup. Then you have the hit that some of the economies take as a result of people leaving, and a slew of other problems associated with Irene that turned into a tropical storm by the time it hit New York City. So New York was deserted. It would have been a very, very busy weekend for tourism, and now it is not. So retailers will pay the price for that. But the ultimate price, however, is paid by the people who were killed in this storm. And while that wasn't the case in New York, it was certainly the case, as I mentioned, in a couple of other places. 22 people in all, they say. Now, that number's going to change a little bit, but as of right now, have been killed as a result of Irene. Unfortunately, a couple of the people decided to brave out the storm and then decided it was time to get in the car and leave. And, of course, when you're in a car, you have heavy winds, you can't see, you have treacherous roadways. Ultimately, you know what that can lead to, which is always the fear of evacuate or not evacuate, that indecision and then changing your mind at the last second. And listen, the cops know that. That's what happens to people. And there's always that chance they smash into a tree or go over an embankment or whatever. And in a couple of these cases, that's exactly what happened. Now, when it comes to the water and the wet stuff, a lot of that was more inland. In fact, Irene, the tropical storm, brought about 6 inches to a foot of rain in a lot of places along the east. In one North Carolina area, 24 houses or so were, of course, ripped apart by the flooding. I mean, just practically sawed in half. And then Long Island Sound in East Haven, Connecticut, had problems with Irene. 20 houses were destroyed by the surf. In fact, it was so bad that some of them were just reduced to what you would call a pile of rubble. That's some pretty strong surf. A pile of rubble from a house to a pile of rubble? I would say if those people were deciding to hang around, that wouldn't have been a good idea at all. So there were some people that did the smart thing, got out of the way, and didn't pay the ultimate price with their life. But now there are people that are going to come back or have come back, and they've seen that siding has been peeled off their house, that trees have been ripped from the ground and might have slammed into the top of the house or, you know, whatever. Some cars were ultimately submerged from the floodwaters and all that stuff. Most of the hard-hit areas, some of them anyway, in these river areas where the river crested over, those were the people that seemed to get hit the worst in some states. It just depended on where you land. You know, it's like you look at a map of the United States and just then isolate the East Coast and start to stick in thumbtacks as to where the worst hit places were. And you can start with North Carolina because it was a Category 1 as it hit. It was a hurricane as it hit North Carolina, then a tropical storm. And there was definitely damage from this. Absolutely there was damage from it. Just not quite the kind of storm that was being predicted. And I love the fact that you have people in New York wandering around complaining that the storm was not quite the storm that they thought it was going to be. How about, oh, thank goodness the storm wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I have family up and down the East Coast, and I worried that something was going to happen to them through the winds with the water and with the trees. Luckily, that did not happen. It's interesting, the wrath of Mother Nature. You have this situation on the East Coast, the panic, the evacuations, the New York stuff, no subways, no transportation, all shut down. Then there was actually some flooding in the Holland Tunnel, flooding with some of the subway runs, some of the routes. So some of the evacuations, I think, were pretty smart, but others it turned out to be more hype than there was anything to it. So you have that going on in the East, and then you have other states that are completely bone dry. I mean, Texas, could it be any dustier in Texas? Could it be any hotter? The home of yellow lawns. Green does not exist, my friends, in Texas because of the many days that Texas has been pounded over and over again. But what's interesting and what you care about, I always say it's about the buzz in your backyard, is the power situation. Because you got power knocked out in parts of the East, and in Texas, the power grid is at an all-time peak. They are begging people to reduce power to avoid rolling outages. We are now, Texans, in a fifth week of heat, and more heat. Did I say that enough? Extreme heat. So the yin and the yang of it is, it depends on your location. You're either complaining that, oh, geez, that hurricane, I could have gone into the city, or you're complaining that you could practically catch on fire when you walk out your front door if you happen to live in Texas. What's the weather like where you are? Are you complaining? 800-259-5791 as we rock and roll to our next segment. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA. But Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
We're talking about the wrath of Irene. Did you feel it, or were you disappointed because of the hype? I hope nobody was disappointed that, geez, I just had to deal with some rain. Because trust me, if you just had to deal with some rain, that's a good thing, my friends. You do not, I don't understand it. I mean, I guess in a sense I do, because, oh, the waves. I'm a surfer, man, and I'm going to get my board, and I'm going to get as close to the biggest waves as I can. And then suddenly you are no more because you decided to play chicken with a tropical storm or a Cat 1 hurricane. It doesn't matter. It's silly. What a silly way to go, in my opinion. And there were, unfortunately, some people who tried to do that. That figured, well, I'm okay. I'm going to just get as close to the... That's why you have these, you know, like Chris Christie goes hysterical. Because he knows that people are trying to do that, especially younger people are trying to do that. Like, oh, man, if I could just catch a glimpse of this, glimpse, they get too close to the water and then that's it. They can't, you know, they defy the hurricane warnings and they want the ultimate wave. And then they plunge into the ocean just as it's hitting the coastline and forget about it. You're not going to beat this out. Yeah, you're not going to do it. So we got 4 million people left without power from South Carolina to Connecticut. Irene pounded the East Coast, at least certainly with the wet stuff, left some flooding, left some destruction as a parting gift. Patricia in New York, you have the floor. Thanks for the call, Patricia. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's the weather like in your neck of the woods?
Oh, my goodness. I'm in Willsboro, New York. I'm like an hour away from the border of Canada, and some of us thought it was just hype, thought that we would miss it. We got pounded. We've been out power since 2:15 this afternoon, and we're still without power.
Wow, so generators and that kind of stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah. So still where I work with. We're about the only one open in town. We cranked up a generator to get lights and keep something cold, and the rain stopped, but the winds, oh my goodness. Really? Still whipping.
Really? Yeah, see, it's the wind. And you know this, Patricia, it's the wind that's the killer thing because of the trees and then what it can do with the water even. That's what happens.
Oh, yeah. They have the places around here from Essex, New York, to downtown Willsboro. Some of the roads got closed, reopened for a brief moment, closed again because trees, you know, and power lines down. And God bless the electric company. They tried. We got power for like 2 minutes, I think a little bit after 8, and then went right back out.
Ooh.
Yeah,
yikes.
We got a brief, yay, finally, and no.
And then it went back.
Yeah, because as soon, you know, it stopped raining when I got home about 9, and we're still sitting in it, well, lighted candles and a portable radio so I can listen to you, thank God. And the wind just, the rain has stopped, but the winds are, oh, my goodness.
Patricia, you batting the hatches. You hang in there, okay, girlfriend? Don't do anything silly. Just let it all pass by, okay? Wow. Getting pounded by, like she said, see, that's the perfect example. It seems okay, and you think it's all right, and then poof, the wind and the, you know, the water, that's that the key elements. Renee is listening to us in Montreal. Hello, Renee.
Well, hi. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, the situation right now in Montreal, we're having the winds of about 100 kilometers an hour sometimes. I don't know what that is in miles an hour. I think you're miles an hour per hour in the United States, but it's been raining like crazy, and they're predicting a lot of flooding in the south shore side of Montreal past the river.
Mm.
They tend to have flooding problems. They have them every year, but with this kind of rain that's been coming down for most of the day, it's going to create some flooding. But there's a huge trees right behind my place here, and I'm sleeping in the front of my house tonight because already some of the branches have snapped off like twigs. Because the trees up here, of course, because of our colder winters, we get a lot of, they get stressed out more, the barks and stuff, so they tend to not give in to the wind as well, I guess. So.
Right, so
it's,
they're bending.
A lot of, oh, yeah, well, a little more than I've ever seen. And a lot of Montreal, too, is out of hydro. I'm okay here, but I know a lot of sections, it's all shut down.
Wow.
But, yeah, that's how it is. It's not as bad as we thought it was going to be, but...
But you're worried about those trees. See, that's the key. The trees that we all want are also the trees that can be so deadly to us when you own a house.
Yeah, and they're like about 30 meters high, too. I don't know. They're just bending over and dancing. They're dancing, and I'm staying away.
Ooh, they're dancing. Renee, you take care up there, and hey, we're glad you're listening to America Tonight, and thanks for that update. Wow, so there's two different assessments of Irene, New York and Montreal. Tomas in Michigan. I don't think Tomas is worried about Irene. Hey, Tomas.
Hey, it's beautiful up here in Michigan.
Yeah, you don't have to worry. Listen, you don't have to worry about the drought that's strangling Texas. You're not worried about the water that's killing the East Coast. It's a place to be as the flyover states now.
Well, you know, it's all a gamble, you know. If they want people to leave, you know, these areas, instead of telling them they have to leave, all they have to say is, you know, because of budget cuts, we won't be able to help you like we have before. And I tell you what, people will haul butt out of there. But when you tell them they cannot leave, they just sit down and go, okay, watch this. But since we're talking about gambling now, I want to talk about the little casino that burned up in Monterey, Texas there. I mean, Mexico.
Yeah, right. and what happened right away? Felipe Calderon was quick to throw the blame on the U.S., and of course it was a Mexican drug cartel that went in, and how sad for all those people that were trying to avoid the flames. They just went in, threw gasoline all over the place, and killed all those people is basically what those thugs did. They were trying to extort money out of them. Calderon is blaming the ammo situation, the guns, that whole thing on the U.S. That's pretty convenient. Although we know that the guns, some of the guns, of course, that have gone back and forth over the border are part of that whole gun running deal, the idea of tracking the guns. But shame on Calderon. All he does is point fingers at the U.S. Why doesn't he clean up his own country?
Well, you know, that's apparently what, you know, the modus operandi of politicians is nowadays. Nobody really gets in trouble. They just, you know, but I'd like to ask you a question. With all this violence going on in Mexico now, and, you know, just the other day, like you said, 52 people killed when they burned down a casino. What is Governor Perry doing about the border? Is he for a border fence or not?
He's for, absolutely. He's, the interesting thing is there's a yin and a yang to Perry. He, on one hand, he's giving illegals a pass, kids of illegals a pass when it comes to schooling and tuition, and that's infuriated a lot of people. But on the other hand, if you strictly want to talk about the borders, absolutely, he's for, doing something about the border situation, about shutting it down, about walls, about, guards, about anything. You know, he was for the whole Minuteman thing, absolutely.
Well, so he's going to be have to, you know, stick
out
a
that.
Solid position on that when the debates come.
Right.
And I've heard some people say the opposite, that he doesn't want an Arizona-type solution in Texas or something like that. But we have to have – how many decades now has it been? Decades of Republicans and Democrats saying they're going to build a fence – and decades of vast hundreds and thousands of Mexicans being killed by drug terrorists, and we still don't have a stinking fence along the border.
Yeah, or better protection. And see, with Perry, the thing that he has to be careful about is he's going to dance around it, like you said, because when you're the politician and you need the Hispanic vote and you think of Texas and getting all the votes, the electoral votes that you can get in Texas, you got to be careful about what you're saying because of people who might turn their back on you. So he's kind of right there in the middle. But yeah, he's not shy about the border. He thinks the border, there needs to be something done on the border. In fact, I don't know who gave you that information, because he wanted to throw in on the Jan Brewer thing. Texas was actually investigating, you know, looking into, I won't call it investigating, looking into whether or not they could do a similar thing to Brewers. So he definitely was somebody who is for border security, if you will. Thanks, Tomas. By the way, he mentions that whole deadly Mexican casino thing that we just talked about. Hundreds of protesters demonstrated on Sunday. I mean, just terrible, sickening what they did there. Keep it here.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I file from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild Chagan birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild Chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I love you, baby. I love you now. I love you, baby. I love you now. Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but let's just go out and ride. Talk about the things we tried. Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but I'll never get inside. We got too much to hide. Come on, baby.
Come on, all right, baby. If you have stories to share, just like Patricia did in New York or Renee in Montreal, please do. We're curious as to what you saw with Irene, how it is in your area. Flooding? Are you worried about the trees? That kind of stuff. Let us know. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. I was going to say that backwards. 1-9-7-5-9-5-2-0-0-8. Are you impressed? I'm kidding. You know how it is here. We have dyslexia when it comes to numbers. But we got those numbers down. Speaking of numbers, coming up at the tail end of the show, we can count. And it is all about numbers. Because I always say this. Go through a day and try not to pay attention to numbers and see if you can do it. And the answer is no, you can't. Everything has a number attached to it. Even if you just go to the grocery store, besides the obvious thing, when you pay for whatever it is you're paying for, a lot of times you get a number when you stand like in a deli line, for example. The old numbers, they still do the number thing in some places. Yeah. On a serious note, next Sunday we'll be talking about 9/11. It's been 10 years, so a look back. I'm going to New York, not for 9/11, but the following week, and I'm anxious to see. They've got a museum now. One of the things, they've got a museum at Ground Zero that will house like Ladder 3 fire truck, where you had 12 firemen who were killed. Their truck will be there, as the remains of it, because, you know, it was battered. And the other artifacts and things that were found from people that will be in the museum. Now, the museum won't be open until 2012, but two of the tridents from the World Trade Center. And the tridents are, if you had ever gone there, but if you haven't, I'm just going to give you the description to the best of my ability. Because I can remember this as a kid, going to the World Trade Centers and looking, you looked up and the building always seemed like it swayed to me, speaking of winds, when it was windy. And when you looked up, you saw it looked like forks, tridents, that just went all the way up into the sky. And remember when you would constantly see that image of the cleanup at Ground Zero, you would see what was left of the tridents. It looked like a little sea fan that was standing there in the midst of all that wreckage. Two of the tridents were out at the JFK hangar, where all of the artifacts, I'm going to call them artifacts, but all the remains of the people were taken, the, you know, badges that were found, the torn clothes, all that kind of stuff. And then ultimately it was gone through and some of it was donated to the museum, the families, and it'll be there. And one of the things that was left were these two tridents. So they have them now in this visitors museum. When you go to New York, when you go to Ground Zero, and you can see through the museum, in the front of the museum, and that will already be there. And then, of course, they've got the names of all the people who were killed at the World Trade Centers from the two buildings, you know, in the two buildings. And they're all in this fountain. There's a fountain, and there's, I think, three or four fountains, and all the names are there. You can see them. They're all around the fountain, and it looks like it just turned out to be a spectacular design. And to me, at least the families have a place to go where they see their husbands or brothers or mothers or whoever, whatever the family relationship is, they can see their name there. And I don't know, maybe there's something comforting about that, but I'll be able to, and I will post some pictures up as I go to New York, you know, 6 days, 5 days after 9/11, after the 10-year mark of 9/11, and we'll be talking about that certainly here on America Tonight next week when you tune in at this time. Now we're talking about Irene and the cleanup and how long it's going to take, and the fact that Irene dumps all over the United States, on the East Coast anyway, and now is in Canada, and they're feeling it in Montreal, because we had a couple of calls from there, and we know that they're getting that sensation that a lot of people had to deal with, and that's that uncertainty, because you're really just not sure what's going to happen to the trees, for example, in your yard or your basement, if you have a basement or any of that kind of stuff, the effects of it, whether or not it's going to survive. I think we've got Don on the line. Don, are you back from Wyoming?
Hello, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yes, and you know what? You're not feeling the effects of Irene because you, too, are in a state where Irene was a nothing burger. There was no Irene.
Well, we just had a mini-Irene because something came through from Nevada, and, I mean, I have never seen rain come down like that in Salt Lake.
Really?
It was buckets, Kate. I mean, seriously, every 100 feet, I was losing traction in my car, so just standing water. I mean, it was coming down. It's going to be interesting to see how much water came down. And they calculated, you know, in the next day or two. And that was one little pounder, but no, nothing probably like they're doing back there, you know. So, but hey, you know, they live in Hurricane Alley, you know, it's all where you live.
Nobody That's what I said, location, there. Location, 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 yeah.
Well, nobody cares up here when it's 37 below in Wyoming. They laugh. Your listeners laugh at me like, sucker.
Yeah, you chose to live there.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, whatever part of the country you're in, you got your issues, you got to prepare for them, you know, and you don't like it, it's a big country, you can move somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
You know. But anyway, though, Other than that, I got a little surprise, I guess I should tell you. Last Monday, I had the weight of the world lifted off my shoulder.
What happened?
I got canned.
You got canned?
Yeah, for my job. 9 years, can you believe that?
Wow, what happened? Did they just decide to downsize, or
they didn't. So, I think that's coming, you could probably guess what got me in trouble.
I can maybe.
Go ahead and say it.
It's not your mouth, is it?
Yeah. Well, I'm a happy-go-lucky kind of guy most of the time, and I talk a little too much sometimes, and I guess this time I just shared a joke that most people thought was funny, but somebody didn't find it funny, and so they just said, we don't want you in the post offices anymore, and my company couldn't do anything about it, I'm sorry to call you. You just would not believe all the stuff I had to get done this week. It was just made last week. It was amazing, and I'm just like, I'm looking forward to taking a break. My boss is, I've still got my little part-time job, which pays really good.
Right.
I got my income coming from my house.
Right.
And I've got my unemployment coming, and I asked my boss, yes, no, man, if anyone ever deserved to take 6 months off, it's you. I was like, yeah, I have worked, 5-6 days a week, 12 hours a day for you for 9 years, I was just looking forward to this, and I'm even signed up, this afternoon at 4 o'clock with our rec center with the fat girls to do jazzercise,
So you're going to do jazzercise. I love it.
I got 20 hours after, it takes about 3, maybe 4 hours, maybe for my little part-time job, I do with newspapers.
Right, right.
20 hours, and then I got 20 hours to do what I want. So I thought that was all great and everything until all of a sudden Friday, I got a call from a guy from UPS. He's like, "We hear you're not working at the post office anymore." I'm like, "How did this lay this out?" He goes, "We all know everything about each other, And so he's coming down today, and I'm having an interview with him, I guess. And so my idea of a long-term vacation, of course, they pay very well, UPS. So I'm kind of looking forward to, if it's there and he's got something for me or a couple of months down the road, that'd be great, So. We'll see what happens. So I got a pretty good resume. I'm a pretty likable guy, and if I take a lesson from this one, I got to remember sometimes just when to keep my mouth quiet. Of course, I'm sure everyone's laughing around the country right now because I do that a lot, Kate, don't I?
They know, but see, right away you got the. How great is that, though? You already got the phone call, so that's good.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, it's not all hang out and see what's going on, I'll keep my eye open for something might come along, it's kind of an interesting feeling to go work so many hours, so many weeks for so long, and then all of a sudden, you're just kind of like, So, I'm going to beat you to New York, I'm going to be there on Friday night, Yankee Stadium, Friday, I'll take a bunch of pictures, and so we'll see, I'm going to be at Ground Zero. My uncle lives just like 2 blocks from there, south into Greenwich Village. So.
Oh, that's right. So you do want to, what you want to do is you want to go by that museum. It's not open, but you can see the whole outside and the fountains and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I got a new camera. I'm going to be snapping pictures of just about everything. And kind of excited about that. And down to Virginia to visit with my high school buddy and get a little trip there. And then I'm in Vegas for the 23rd. So it's going to be a pretty fun month.
Cool. That sounds, that's good because you're going to take in the game and then, of course, you're going to be there on the very somber weekend in New York. Thanks, Don. Good luck on that job situation. Coming up on the flip side, we're heading to the numbers. That means we can count.
D. Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass weigh stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Las Vegas.
How does it feel to be one of the beautiful people? Baby, you're a rich man. Baby, you're a rich man. Baby, you're a rich man too. Don't come knocking when you're good.
Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall.
Why don't woman to live care?
Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
The Las Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
Larry Powell. You wouldn't know him, but he's the Fresno County School Superintendent. Why should you care? Check this out. He's giving back $800,000. Yep, that would have been what he would be paid for the next 3 years. His term expires in 2015. He's going to run 325 schools, 35 school districts, 195,000 students, if you wanted to add it all up. So I like the student number. And he decided, because he had the money to do so, that he wanted California's budget to thrive a little bit. And he's a guy who started his career as a high school civics teacher. And he's done a whole anti-bullying thing and all that kind of stuff. And he's trying to give back as much to the students. And one of them is this give back of the $800,000. $1,000. So he asked his board to allow him to return the salary and benefits for the next 3.5 years. He technically retired, then agreed to be hired back to work for $31,000 a year, $10,000 less than a first-year teacher with no benefits. Wow, how cool. I mean, I'm sure some people read that and think, what, is he crazy? But that was his grand gesture that I'm going to retire and I don't want to take more money out of this budget and I can afford to do that. So I'm going to, he didn't even say I can afford to do it. I mean, who knows? I'm just putting words in his mouth. I don't know that he could necessarily afford to do it, but he is affording to do it because that matters enough to him and bravo. I bet there's a lot of districts that wish they had teachers like that. Because, you know, that's close to $1 million. What can you do in a school district with $1 million? And the answer is a lot. Certainly a lot. What's going on in Yosemite? I'm telling you, the most dangerous place to go, Yosemite, this past summer. 13 people dead as a result of trips through Yosemite. And check this out. About 100 people have been ordered to leave their houses because now they got this wildfire that's burning outside of the parks. They're trying to figure out where did it come from, all that other sort of stuff. And it's in a very steep and rugged area of thick forest off of Highway 140. Some of you know this area. And they're urging anybody who's traveling there to take a different route instead of the normal route into the park. So it's not affecting the inside. It's a little bit of smoke is affecting things. But how many firefighters? 850 firefighters there, helicopter crews. They're taking water from the Merced River and they're dropping it on the flames. It started on Thursday and what it was they believe, a motorhome caught fire. Wow. Burning 4,600 acres so far, or 7 square miles. That is a job that I would not like to attempt. I really admire all of you who are firemen and go in and do the things that you do. One of the most dangerous jobs I think you could ever have. And especially even in these, whether you're in a city or you're fighting somewhere in a forest, you're talking about some jagged areas and probably very, very tough to get to. All right, we switch and go to Baghdad now. We leave Yosemite to go to Baghdad. A suicide bomber naturally blew himself up inside of one of the biggest mosques on Sunday night in Baghdad. 29 people were killed during prayers. And the thing that's so sad about this is the fact that you had a couple of people, you had Iraqi security folks and say that parliament lawmaker Khalid Afadawi, who was a Sunni, was among the people who died in this massacre. And they confirmed that the bombing happened inside the mosque during prayers and that there was nothing anyone could do about it. He was a suicide bomber. He detonated his explosive vest inside the mosque. And it's very, very similar to an attack that I can remember, I want to say, to that shrine, that Shiite shrine in Samarra. If you remember, that ignited a ton of back and forth violence. So nobody's claimed responsibility for this at this time, but, you know, that doesn't mean they're not going to figure it out pretty soon, I would say. And the Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, is all over this and just urging Iraqis to be as strong as they can against terrorists and pursue them wherever they are. Man, you hear about that and it just makes you shudder that it just goes right in the mouth. Poof, that's it. And you know why? Because they have no regard for life. No regard for life. Everybody talks about their iPhones and the apps. If you went to my website, americatonight.net, you would see me holding up my iPhone with the apps. So many apps, not enough time. Although I don't have that many compared to most people I know have rows and rows and rows of apps. So there's a mobile app to help in a hurricane. Pretty smart, huh? So if you're stuck there and some of you have called and you're describing your situations, imagine if you can flip open your phone or just you have your phone open and you have the apps, almost like emergency kits. How perfect. That will show you ways to go, places to go, whatever, when you're stuck somewhere. Plus, it's like an automatic locator when you're stuck. For the iPhone, it's called Disaster Prep. Disaster Prep. And the app has all kinds of checklists. It reminds you every 6 months to check it, rotate the kit supplies, have the insurance and car information, the first aid, the CPR, and, you know, all that kind of, all the kind of stuff that you would need if you had to flee suddenly. And that's what happens, whether it's Irene or something else that sends you running out seemingly overnight, in some cases overnight, to get to a shelter somewhere else. All that stuff that you need gets lost. Well, what's your insurance and what's this? And you, all the questions you get badgered with and you have no time for, you would be able to answer so easily if you just had some kind of a plan. Have a plan. I know better. I have a plan. It can be very easy to come up with this plan, by the way. Very, very easy. The big one at the box office was The Help. I don't know how many people from the East Coast took in a movie, because I was thinking, if it wasn't that bad, it was a tropical storm, but you don't want to be out around in the wet stuff. Maybe you go to a movie, you just chill on somebody else's dime as far as air conditioning is concerned. So, The Help was the top draw, 14.3 million. 14.3 million. That's pretty good for the fact that half of the country was shut down, even though it's turned into a tropical storm. It's kind of a wild, crazy weekend. So, The Help has been number one for two straight weeks. How about that? Any idea what The Help is about? It's about black Southern maids who share all kinds of stories about their white employers, and this is in the middle of the civil rights movement. Domestically, it's made $96.6 million. So that should easily hop over the $100 million mark, which is good for the filmmakers and probably good for some of the people who have acted in this movie as well. This is kind of a chick flick, though, guys. If you want to take your woman to a chick flick and you're looking for one that she might like, you know, not that I'm paid to endorse this movie, which I'm not, but this might be good light fare. It might work. Just might work. The Help. I say light fare. There's probably some very dramatic moments in it, but overall it's supposed to be a little bit light so that there'd be some funny scenes in it. Good time to plug the fact that, don't forget, coming up on Tuesday, we go to our man Stephen Shohet in Hollywood. Plus, we have our cheap movie reviews on Friday in the AM. If you're thinking of catching a movie, you don't want to miss our little snippets and then our remarks afterwards. Kind of a little scorecard for you, if you will. That happens on Thursday into Friday mornings here on America Tonight.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.